Father, I just thank you. And I look around, Father God, and I see faces that love you. And Father God, they want all of you. They want your very best. And Father God, I also see how the enemy fights, torments. And Father, I'm asking you right now, let your Holy Spirit be so evident in this room that the enemy has to flee. He cannot survive in this atmosphere of praise and worship. And Father God, we just thank you for your holy angels that are here to assist us at any time we call upon them. And Father, I'm asking that you do a special work within the spirits of these people who came out this morning. Raise them up, Father God, into the heavenly realm. Raise them into that place where the enemy cannot touch them. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. There's so much going on in the atmosphere. So much going on in the atmosphere. And, you know, you need to really be concentrating on what is going on in the atmosphere. You need to be walking in the Spirit and understand what it is we're fighting. We have to understand whether it's God wants us in this battle or if he just wants us to sit aside and let the angels fight the battle for us. There's sometimes we have to be there to do our part. And there's other times when we just sit back and smile because God is taking care of the whole entire thing. And if you're really walking in the Spirit, God's going to let you know when you are to do what. I've been reading a lot about what's going on in the world, church world, and the church world is messed up. And God is really judging the churches right now. And he's judging the people who are coming against his anointed. The best thing you can do is just shut up. You know, quit talking about other people. Just be quiet. And then you won't have to be concerned, oh, is God judging me? You know, it's none of our business what's going on in somebody else's life. Absolutely none. You know, our job is to give the gospel and to save people. It's not our job to run around watching what people are doing and judging them and criticizing them. And that's going on in the body of Christ. And the enemy's using that, and he's having a heyday with it. So just, you know, God's always told us to keep your nose stuck where you're at. Don't be paying attention to what somebody else is doing, and everything will be just fine. All right? All right, let's just start this, Brett. Did God say is what I titled it. God said, when my children say they will always serve me, no matter what, there are two sets of ears that hear those same words. Your Father in heaven and the enemy of your soul. At this point, the war over your soul is on. All of heaven has come to attention to assist you, and all of hell has come to attention to destroy you. This entire battle is for the souls of all mankind, not just one or two. All right, let's read that again. When my children say they will always serve me no matter what, there are two sets of ears that hear those same words. Your Father in heaven and the enemy of your soul. At this point, the war of your soul is on. All of heaven has come to attention to assist you, and all of hell has come to attention to destroy you. This entire battle is for the souls of all mankind, just not one or two. In other words, just not for your soul. It's for all those souls around about you that God has assigned to you to set them free. When I was first born again, you know, all hell broke loose against my life. And I said, God, what's going on? And he said, you're in a tug of war. And this is what he's saying here, too. He said, I'm on one side pulling on you, vying for your life. Satan's on the other side pulling for you, vying for your life. It's up to you which one of us win this tug of war. So you see, it's up to each one of you sitting in here this morning who wins the tug of war for your life. All right? Holly, maybe you could take the little boy back there into the study and do something with him, if his mom doesn't mind. So what are you going to do? Are you going to allow the enemy to keep pulling you over to his side? Or are you going to start saying, Satan, now you've had my life long enough, and now I'm going to let God win this tug of war, and then go over to the right side? Then God said, it's time to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. So I looked that up, and in Mark 12, 13 through 17 says, later the Jewish leaders sent some Pharisees and some men from the group called Herodians to Jesus. They wanted to catch him saying something wrong. Do you know that everybody's waiting for you to say something wrong? They really are. I don't care where your walk has gone. Everybody's waiting for you to do something or say something wrong. And they did the same thing to Jesus, according to this, right? Verse 14, they went to Jesus and said, Teacher, we know that you are an honest man. You are not afraid of what others think about you. All people are the same to you, and you teach the truth about God's way. Tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Should we pay them or not? But Jesus knew that these men were really trying to trick him. See, this is where we have to be like Jesus. We have to know when people are trying to trick us. And Jesus said, why are you trying to catch me saying something wrong? Bring me a silver coin and let me see it. They gave Jesus a coin, and Jesus asked, whose picture is on the coin and whose name is written on it? They answered, it is Caesar's picture and Caesar's name. Then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. The men were amazed at what Jesus said. Now, God went on to say, this is the hour when the enemy is using a very cunning weapon. He is causing my children to question themselves. Did God call me to do this? If so, why is everything going so wrong? That's going on in your lives, isn't it? God's right on time with everything. And Jesus said, what did the serpent say to Eve in the garden? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you shall die. So what did the serpent do up here? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? See how he did that? Very sly. And verse 4, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. You know, if they eat from that other tree. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So Satan said the truth. He said that God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like him. And so they disobeyed God and listened to the enemy. Now, Jesus said this evil entity was cursed in the garden. And you can see that in Genesis 3, 14, and 15. God cursed the snake. And he was also kicked out of heaven in Revelations 12, 7. All right. God said he knows not the truth and he has no authority in your life. The only authority he has is what you give him. I have asked you to open your ears to my voice and my voice only, but you allow any voice to speak into your ears. And God said, why is that? Think about that. Why do you allow just any old voice to speak into your ears? And it could be people. It usually is people that Satan uses to speak into your ears. You have to hear what God is saying to you. Did God say? God goes on to say, I have also spoken and said, do not cast your pearls before the swine, but you continue to labor with those who do not want me. And let's read Matthew 7, 6 says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. In other words, be careful who you speak the gospel to. not everybody sitting in the house of God is of God. And sometimes people only want to find out the dirt in your life so they can talk about you. And I was telling the people this morning, you really don't have really true friends in the house of God. Because once they find out really what's going on in your life, then they leave you. All right? All right, God went on to say, the enemy tempted my son in the wilderness. And let's look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by what? The Holy Spirit, where? Into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted by the devil. This is right after he was baptized. So after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Now, see, it didn't say he was thirsty. So all you guys, if you're fasting, you can drink something. Don't, not your food, though. All right? Verse 3 said, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Satan knew who Jesus was, but he was trying to put doubt in Jesus' mind. If you are the Son of God. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Then he once again, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You see here, the devil knows the word. And a devil will quote the word to you to make you believe that it is God speaking. And this is why you need to know the sound of the still small voice. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, he's saying, throw yourself down because they'll protect you. But then Jesus said, don't put God to the test. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. He already owned all that, guys. You see how the enemy will come and tempt you? In verse 10, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. If you would be just like Jesus and keep resisting all these things that the enemy says to you, and then you finally convince the enemy you're not going to give in to his voice, he will leave, and the angels will come and minister to you. You're never left alone. But see, the body of Christ is so dumb that they give in to the voice of the enemy. And they get, and that voice usually comes through other people. And they do what they tell them. You know, okay, I could say to Grace, Grace, God doesn't want you to flag anymore. He wants you to start singing. You know, and she would say, well, you know, and the pastor said I should start singing and not flag. It's not the pastor, that was the devil. Your job is to flag. And she laid down her flags and started singing it, and she would not be anointed to do that. You also have to hear the voice of God yourself. Come on now. Quit being so lazy. I wouldn't want to depend on you guys to talk to me through, say thus saith the Lord. I really wouldn't. You know, you have to be very watchful of who you allow to speak into your life. All right? And I've had people say, I just don't believe that this was God. I say, throw your tape away. Because, you know, it doesn't matter to me. If you think it wasn't God, then throw it away. I'd rather have you do that than go around telling people that I said this and said that and you not believe it, and then you run me into the dirt. Right? All right. When the devil saw that Jesus was not going to bow to his words, he left Jesus. The devil will do the very same thing to you, but, I just already said all this, not until you prove to him that your walk with God is more important than any trash he throws your way. Oh, it won't hurt you to take a little drink. What's one little drink? It's the whole bottle. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it won't hurt if I just look at this little pornography, this is a little 5-minute thing. 2 hours later, you're still looking at pornography. That's what it hurts. He's a liar. God said, take a look at where the enemy took John the Baptist. So let's go to Matthew 11, verse 1 through 10. You know who John the Baptist was? His mother got pregnant the same time Mary did with Jesus. And John the Baptist was a forerunner to bring Jesus on the scene. So Matthew 11, 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, but then John the Baptist was in prison getting ready to get his head cut off because he told the truth to the king, and now he was doubting, was it really Jesus all this time? And verse 4, Jesus replied, you know, so he sent his disciples to Jesus. Then this is what Jesus replied. "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." This is what Jesus sent back to John. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. He said, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now let's stop there. God said, "Who did you go to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." John the Baptist, you know, God told us when we started church, you are the second John the Baptist. And you are going to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know that. We stand on that. And then later on down the road, he said, "You are a remnant church. And I'm going to raise up the remnant churches in the end times to bring in the harvest." And so this is what he was saying here. There's more than a prophet standing before you. This is a mighty man of God who's going to do great and powerful things for the kingdom of heaven. Now, in verse 12, Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and the violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John." All right, saying here. Verse 13 says, "For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John." And then I'm going back to verse 12. It says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it." The war started with John the Baptist, and it's still going on. And 14 says, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who was to come." You know, John the Baptist. "Whoever has ears, let him hear. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." So it doesn't matter what people say about you, God will vindicate you. They're going to say all manner of evil about you. So you better get thick-skinned real quick-like. You need to, first of all, know that you're called of God, and I know that. So what you say to me really doesn't bother me. I do get upset, though, when you go out there and tell lies about me. God, you need to know that God has called you to do a special deed, or the enemy is going to take you out. He's going to use people who you love, who you minister with, He's going to use them to start a lie about you. And it's going to take you out if you don't know who you are in Christ. John the Baptist knew who he was in Christ, and he knew who Jesus was until he's getting ready to be beheaded. You know, so you might know what your calling is in life until every, you know, the people just start and just, and I'm going through this right now, just one thing after another, the lies that people are telling about you. And then you might say, I don't go here, but you might say, did God really tell me to do all this? Am I really called of God? Am I really a prophet? I don't go there, but there's some people who will go there, and that will destroy you. And I tell my family, I know what God speaks to me. I know that. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know that. And so, see, I don't have any qualms about telling you that this is what God has told me. I write it down. I send it out there. I'll tell you to your face, whatever. And you need to do the very same thing. You have to know that you are called of God. In Luke 22:31 says, all right, so I looked up. I wanted to show us what he did to Simon Peter. Remember our title was, Did God Say? In Luke 22:31-32, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. We always say Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I looked up quite a few different versions and it says all of you. So it wasn't just one person Satan wanted to sift. He wanted to sift anybody in the body of Christ that was really serving God. All right? Get that in your head, in your spirit. Get it somewhere. And then verse 32, Jesus said, but I have prayed for you, Simon. He didn't say, I prayed for all of you, because he's talking to Peter. He said, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, that Peter's faith wouldn't fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. He's saying, you're going to fail, Peter. God gave me this scripture about 6 years into my ministry. He gave me this ministry. So I was being sifted, and I was going to fail. But when I return, strengthen your brothers. When you fail, you don't stay down. You pull yourself back up again. Okay, so I'm a piece of flesh, and I make mistakes, and you repent before the Father, and you keep on going because somebody has to carry on the things that God needs done. And then Luke 22:31-32, let me see. Oh, I went to the Amplified Bible, and it said there, Simon, Simon Peter, listen. Listen up, guys. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. You know, it's just a Job, you know, here's a Job going. Job's running back and forth, if you read about Job. And God said, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking to and fro. Then Jesus says to Satan, have you thought about Brittany? How about Brittany? I'll let you have Brittany. And so then here goes Brittany into Satan's hands. And you're going to go through hell. I'm not saying that it really is going to happen. I'm just using you. You're going to go through hell. I know we've been there. Quite a few of us have been there. You're going to go through hell and back so many times you just don't know what you're going to do next. But you're going to be standing when it's all done. All right, so then, that he might sift all of you like grain. Jesus said, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter. See, Peter was the rock. Peter was the true foundation that God was going to use to minister his word. Some of you are Peter in here this morning. You are the sure rock. You are the ones that God is going to use to get out there and spread the gospel. You're the ones God's going to use for signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you understanding this? But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Then it goes on to tell you about, you know, Jesus. Peter said, no, not me, Lord. I would never leave you. And God said, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter failed. And Jesus told me he was going to fail. But he said, Peter, when you come back, strengthen your brothers. So if you made a mistake, don't stay down. Get up, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Be honest with them about what you just went through. Be honest with them that you're flesh and blood. But tell them, come on, you don't need to fall into the hole I fell into. You can find your own hole. Right? But I'm telling you, this is the trap that Satan has out there for you, and he's going to try to take you out. Peter had a life-altering failure. Jesus warned that Satan had asked permission to sift a disciple like wheat. See, Satan always has to, every test you go through, Satan went before the throne of grace, and he asked God to have you. And if God would say no, then you couldn't be sifted, but God says yes, then he can have you and sift you. But I thank God I have a father that really loves me, because he's a daughter Satan's asked to sift you as wheat. And I had to let him do it, but you'll come through it. Every time I was sifted, he would warn me ahead of time. He would tell me how easy it was going to be or how hard it was going to be. And it was always hard. Come on, you know, if you have an easy test, it's not going to really change you too much. You know, well, this wasn't much. I'll just whiz right on through. So God has to let you go through a hard one. He has to make you strong. He has to put all of heaven in you so he can use you to tear down the strongholds of hell. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not strong, you're not going to make it. And if you said, like he said at the beginning, whenever you said, here I am, use me, Satan was listening too. And it just depends on how strong your anointing is, because Satan knows how God's going to use you. If your anointing is really super strong, he's going to come at you. Well, God told me it not too long ago, he's brought everything out of hell that he has to come after you this time. And it's his last time to attack you. And I didn't know all that was in hell. How about you? But when he's through throwing all of hell at you, you know what? You're stronger. You can hold your head up even higher. And you can look the devil in the eye and say, you can't have me. No, you can't kill me. He can test you, but he can't kill you. How strong are you, really? Are you strong enough that you can look the devil in the eye and say, you know, you might be able to test me, but you can't kill me. And then you just go ahead and go through that testing time. I'm sorry, but whenever you gave your heart to God, it did not put you in a bubble. It put you right, had a big bullseye right on you. And the enemy's been after you ever since. All right. And what did God say? He's using a vicious weapon. Did God say? All right, vigorous shaking is required to separate wheat kernels from debris. The enemy wanted to shake Peter's faith hard in hopes that he'd fall away from Jesus like chaff. How many of you have already been through that? Your faith has been shaken to the very, very, very core, trying to get you to stop Christ. Don't you think he is doing the very same thing to each of you? What makes you so different that you won't be tested and tried and suffer? This is what I'm asking you. What makes you so different that you won't be tested and tried and suffer? And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I was kicked out of a church because I told the pastor that God said we were going to suffer. She says, you don't ever say that because a Christian doesn't suffer. I want you to leave. All right? It right there in the Word it told me that, right? All right, well, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, let's read that all together. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a distinct difference in us here. And Luke 22:41, and he withdrew from them about a stone. Oh, this is Jesus in the garden. And Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but always yours be done. And there appeared to Jesus an angel from heaven strengthening him in the spirit. Now I said, notice God did not take his cup from him. Instead, he sent an angel to give him strength to do the will of the Father. Are you hearing that? All right, just like everybody saying, well, if you walked in signs, wonders, and miracles, why are you not healed? God hasn't shown the manifestation of healing yet, but he's strengthening me. And really, truly, if you were in my body, you wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing. But he's strengthening me so I can go forth until the healing actually manifests itself. I even heard one day, a physician, heal yourself. Somebody's saying that about me. You know, what you say goes into the atmosphere. All right, verse 44 said, and being in agony of mind, Jesus, we're talking about, Jesus prayed all the more earnestly and intently, and his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. See, at this point he knew, all right, I've got to go through this thing. There's no way I cannot go through it. And verse 45 said, and when Jesus got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from grief. And Jesus said to them, why do you sleep? Get up and pray that you may not enter at all into temptation. See that? I wrote that scripture down to let you know that people aren't going to stand with you. Sometimes you're going to be standing all alone. I don't care how close you think they are to you, they will leave you and forsake you. And they're not going to feel your pain. I mean, you feel what you're, I don't know about you, but God lets me see what I'm going to go through, so I feel what I'm going to go through. But he doesn't show that to somebody else. So you're going to have to go through that. It's just you and God. And you're going to have to keep your head held high. This is why before you ever start a ministry, you need to know that you know that you know that you know that God has called you to do this ministry. All right? All right, God is saying to each one of us, get up and pray. Go forth and fulfill the will of the Father in and through your life. You know, Merlin and Brenda have known me since we opened a church here. I know that they know what I've gone through. I know that they know what people have said about me through the years. And I had somebody say to me, how come you are still doing the church? People are talking about you all the time and saying you're not even of God. I said, I don't care what people say about me. If I wasn't of God, this church doors would not be open. If I was not a God, you know, people wouldn't keep coming in here again and again and again to hear what thus saith the Lord. Sometimes I come up here and I don't really want to be up here. I'm being honest. Because as I look back there, I actually know what you've said about me. But I still have to minister. I don't have to minister to you, but I still minister to you. But what is, always remember this, we are just like Jesus. Jesus had the same thing happen to him in his ministry. People denied who he was. Even his own brothers didn't believe he was the Messiah. But still, Jesus went forth and he ministered the gospel even to those who run him down. I'm asking everyone in here tonight, you have a ministry. It doesn't matter what you might have said. It doesn't matter what you might have done. Give it to God. And start moving forward from this day. You know, because the greater things are ahead of us. They're not behind us. They're ahead of us. And God is trying to get you people to be strong towers that others can run into. He's trying to build you up so that you won't fall when you get out there in the midst of the gross darkness. And I was telling somebody, I don't know who was talking the other day, and I said, when God said he's going to fill this church up, then send us into a bigger church. And I said, and when he does that, there's going to be so many people come into that building that everybody in this room right now today would have a job ministering to the people that comes into the building. One person can't do it. And we've never been a one person church. We work together. And, you know, when you come in and God says, I want you to start using them because I want them to be built up and I want them to see what they have inside of them. Somebody's always going to run you down. They're always going to talk about you. They're always going to tell you you're in the wrong place. The pastors in Delaware would tell their congregation, do not go to the Lighthouse Church because she's of the devil. You know, that didn't stop me. We've had pastors, and I'm telling you this because it's going to happen to you. We've had pastors come in and sit right there in them front rows, smirking at me the whole time I was teaching. And then at the end, stand up crying, saying, I came here to prove she wasn't a God, but I'm telling you, this is a woman of God. You know, you're going to have to know who you are. I ministered in a church one time in an Afro-American church on the other side of town, and it was awful. They invited me, but I sat there, and they did all their stuff. Everybody was doing their preaching and everything else, you know, just trying to. They didn't want me to get up there and preach, and then all of a sudden they said, well, come on up. And there happened to be a woman prophet, an Afro-American woman prophet from New York. And she stood up and said, this is a true woman of God. You treat her like one. The whole atmosphere in the room changed because this prophet spoke up on my behalf. The first thing I did was tell the pastor's son he was going to go to hell if he didn't change his ways. But she said, this is a true woman of God. But they all thought I wasn't. See what I'm saying? God will bend. I didn't do it. I just sat there. I didn't get upset. I didn't leave. I was just waiting patiently for them to finally call me. I knew what they were doing. And so when I stood up, then God had her stand up and vindicate me. God will always vindicate you. He always will. So don't try to vindicate yourself. Don't even try to vindicate yourself to your families why you come to this church. You know what I'm saying? Don't even try to vindicate yourself why you follow God. Yeah, that is stupid. Why do you follow God? Do you follow God because you're from your heart you love him and you want to serve him? Then why do you have to tell everybody else why you're doing it? You know, God told me, he said, everyone works out their own salvation. You know, my answer is, I'm working out my salvation. I wish you would too. Really, isn't that why we're here? We're here working out our salvation. We're here trying to do the things that God would have us to do. And, you know, I was sitting thinking about the body of Christ as a whole the other day. You know, we're just simple, ordinary, everyday people. There's nothing great about any of us sitting in this room. We don't have, I don't think we do, big fancy cars or big fancy houses. We don't have all these wardrobes full of luxury clothes. We're just simple people like they were on the day of Pentecost, serving God with all of our heart, not expecting anything in return. Not expecting anything in return, no big mansion, no big cars or anything. I was sitting in my house the other day, and I said, God, I said, you know, I'm trying to keep my house from running down, and I keep working on it, you know. And I said, I used to think this was a big mansion. You know, don't we get silly ideas sometimes? And I was so proud of my little old house, you know. And I looked around at it through the eyes, I guess, of Jesus and saw it how it really was. But it didn't change my mind about it. It was still my mansion. Don't let people change your mind. You follow God because of what God placed in your heart to do, not what I place in your heart to do. But my question is, did God say? So did God say to you, you're supposed to dance? You know, I can't remember what everything. Did God say you're going to be a great minister? You have to know that. You have to know that in your heart. If you don't know that in your heart, people are going to convince you you're not doing what God wants you to do. All right? God said, as you stand to your feet, now don't stand up right now. As you stand to your feet this morning, you're going to stand as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're going to stand with the understanding that God has called you into his fold. Not into the Lighthouse fold, but into his fold. And God is going to use you for his glory.